Greetings, Good Shepherd family. Pastor Andrew here to bring you the readings and sermon for the fifth Sunday in Lent, March 29th, 2020. Thanks to all of you for your feedback and conversation in the past week about the sermon and this format. In response to several suggestions I received, I'm going to begin today with the prayer of the day. Then we will hear our scripture readings and sermon, and I'll close the sermon with a benediction to bless you all this week in order that you all will continue to be a blessing to others. Please keep in touch this week. Let me know if you or someone else in church has a need we can help with. Our congregation council is meeting this Sunday to discuss plans for coming weeks, and we will get news out to you about this as soon as possible. I ask for your continued prayers for our leadership as we meet to make these tough decisions. Thanks for your faithfulness during this difficult time, and I can't wait until we gather again as one congregation. Let us pray. Almighty God, your Son came into the world to free us all from sin and death. Breathe upon us the power of your Spirit, that we may be raised to new life in Christ and serve you in righteousness all our days. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. A reading from Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' Thus says the Lord God to these bones, 'I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded. And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood on their feet a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. And I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you and you shall live. And I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." The word of the Lord. A reading of Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. If you were to keep watch over sins, O Lord, who could stand? Yet with you is forgiveness, in order that you may be feared. I wait for you, O Lord, my soul waits, in your word is my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who keep watch for the morning, more than those who keep watch for the morning. O Israel, wait for the Lord, for the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, with the Lord there is plenteous redemption. For the Lord shall redeem Israel from all their sins. A reading from Romans. To set the mind on the flesh is death, But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you. The word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to John, the 11th chapter. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble, because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble, because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench, because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. Gospel of the Lord. Our God is a God who brings hope where there is no hope. Our God is a God who speaks tenderly and powerfully where there is utter silence. Our God is a God who brings life where there is death. Those truths must have seemed impossible for Ezekiel and his people to believe. Living as they did, during the time God's people were captive in Babylon, that promise of God that the people would be restored must have seemed a distant dream. In repeated visions that he shared and that were written down for us, Ezekiel began to understand that God was indeed planning to rebuild the people and the nation that the Babylonians had crushed and conquered. In our first reading today, we hear one of the most famous of Ezekiel's visions, his vision of the Valley of the Dry Bones. In his vision, Ezekiel visits an old, old battlefield strewn with skeletons. God reveals to him that these bones represent the people of Israel. Ezekiel doesn't know if such old and dead bones can live again, but I think Ezekiel's response is just polite deference to God's power. God asks, "Mortal, can these bones live again?" Dream on. Fat chance. Ezekiel knows ones as dead as this do not rise again. Bones don't get new skin and live. Yet Ezekiel also knows the power of God, so he says, "Oh Lord God, you know." It is the speaking of God's powerful word through Ezekiel that causes the bones to stir, to be rebuilt into a people. And the word of the Lord went out again through Ezekiel, and the flesh and the bones were filled with breath, with wind, with spirit. And indeed, they lived again. That calls to mind another of God's mighty works, bringing life out of nothing. In the book of Genesis chapter 2, remember, God formed the first human out of dust and then breathed into his nostrils the very breath of life. God made God's people and gave them life and breath. And for Ezekiel, at a time when God's people felt they were in exile, when they felt they had no hope, God promised to put them back together, to breathe into them the very breath of life, the very Spirit of God. The people would be restored to life, to their land, and there they would live with God as their guardian and their guide. But at such a time, when they felt dead, who could believe such a prophecy? Who could believe such a promise? In our gospel lesson, we join a family in their own valley of dry bones. When Jesus arrives in Bethany, it's been 4 days since they laid Lazarus in the tomb. Mary and Martha somewhat echo the words of the exiles from the story in Ezekiel. Their bones feel dried up. Their hope is lost. Their brother is dead. And they each take turns throwing their grief onto Jesus. Lord, they both say, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. How many of us have expressed our grief in similar ways at similar times? It isn't fair when our loved ones die. It can feel hopeless for sure. Yet we know the end of the story. Lazarus once again hears the word of the Lord. He comes out as commanded, still bound by the grave clothes they had wrapped him in. This dead man lives again. Hope is restored. Life is restored. Once again, God brings life out of death, hope where there is no hope. Once again, God fills the silence of death with his powerful word of life. Now we may wonder, well, that's all well and good for the people in the exile. That's wonderful for Lazarus and his sisters and friends. What about us? Both of these stories are promises for us that point beyond the stories themselves. Ezekiel's prophecy is not just good news to the skeletons on the floor of the valley, not just good news to the people who saw that prophecy fulfilled for the first time when they returned to their own land. No, Ezekiel's prophecy speaks a powerful reminder to us all, the kind of God we serve. Indeed, from the very beginning in Genesis, God took delight in bringing life and love and perfection out of darkness and chaos. Likewise, Lazarus's resuscitation was not just a one-time miracle worked for a man and his sisters 2,000 years ago. The raising of Lazarus, in fact, is a sign that points us to Jesus. He is the resurrection and the life. Through him, we all live now and forever. That is the truth of God's power and love that Jesus showed forth in giving Lazarus new life and breath. It's not merely a miracle for one. It's a promise for all that Jesus is stronger than death. And so we also are living in a time where our bones might be feeling a bit dry. A time when we fear losing or have lost loved ones. When we feel like we're in exile. When we can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. These are the times, though, that we lean on these promises of God. Our God is a God who brings hope where there is no hope. Our God is a God who speaks tenderly and powerfully where there is utter silence. Our God is a God who brings life where there is death. This is our hope, this day and this week and always. God's got us well in hand. And God does not cause the storms of our life. God does not cause illness and fear and death. But God meets those challenges head on with words of power and love and life. God speaks to us this day and always, and God's word is life for us. Can these bones live again? You bet. Is Lazarus gone for good? Don't count on it. Indeed, God will see us through every dark valley, and God gives us new and abundant life. And something else interesting happens in both of these stories. God calls the people to participate in God's work. In the valley, the word of the Lord spoke not directly to the bones, but to Ezekiel. God commands Ezekiel, prophesy to the bones, hear the word of the Lord. There is power in the proclamation of God's word and God's promises. Even if Ezekiel was speaking to those who couldn't yet believe, God invited Ezekiel into the proclamation of the word of God. To whom will you prophesy this day and this week? Who will you remind? Hear the word of the Lord. Perhaps you can share words of hope and comfort and life with those around you, your family members, your neighbors, your friends, strangers who brave the virus so you can get what you need, strangers for whom you brave the virus. Maybe it will sound something like a line from our psalm today, "Hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is great power to redeem." You are a bearer of God's word to others this week, whether it's in your own home or outside. God invites you to speak God's promise of life and love and hope to all. Likewise, in our gospel reading, Jesus invites the crowds to unbind Lazarus and let him go. Jesus did the raising, but then he put Lazarus into the care of his community. He entrusted the people to take off the burdens that bound Lazarus and to truly welcome a dead man back to life. As I think about it, that task, welcoming back someone dead for 4 days, would probably be harder than we might first imagine it to be. But Jesus left that work to Mary, to Martha, and to the whole village. Likewise, we are called to help unbind those around us who are still burdened by many things. We're called to give new life and a new chance to those who may have seemed dead to us. This virus in particular, I believe, gives us new and different ways, new and challenging chances to offer this help, this life, and this kindness to others. Where and how can you help someone feeling burdened this week? Whom can you unbind this week? How is God calling you to share the word of life and love with a world full of death and dry bones? I ran across a post from a friend online this week who put into different words what I mentioned last week about speaking to an empty church building, but speaking to a church full of God's love and power. The post said this: "The church is not closed. The church is deployed. We are still the church for the sake of the world. This crisis is making us aware of that in new and powerful ways. We may never be the same again after this is over, in a good way, because we're finding new ways to share love, to share the gospel with others. Thanks be to God, God still brings life where there is death. God still brings opportunity where there is adversity. God still brings us through every storm, through every exile, even through death itself. Thanks be to God. And now, dear church, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace now and forever. Amen."